The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle, and I'm here to help you be the gospel-centered, compassionate, and influential voice in your girl's life. Today, we're talking to Jennifer Campfe, a certified ADHD coach. After her sons were diagnosed with ADHD, she completed the basic, advanced, and family coach training programs at the ADHD Coach Academy. And she opened her coaching business, Fantastically Focused, in 2017. Jennifer works with adults, parents, and students with ADHD. Welcome, Jennifer. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me, Rabrina. I'm so glad to be here.
My pleasure. I find it it is a privilege because I actually forgot to tell you this, that I live with three ADHDers. So I have
bless two, you.
Right. I have two children with ADHD and my husband has ADHD. Okay. And he was diagnosed as an adult. So yeah. It is very interesting to, I am the reminding person, the task maker, the calendar maker, the reminder, it's a lot. It gets to be a lot.
Yes, and it does.
Yes, keeping up with them, checking on them.
Yeah.
And making sure they put things in their phones, they can remember because they have terrible memories, but anyway, we're going to get into all that, and you're going to help us out here for other moms who may have students who are ADHD, or like in my case, also a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or a mom who might have ADHD herself.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Wow.
You help her be able to control certain areas where she can just have more strategies that she can use. So mm-hmm. That's why I invited you today. So, Jennifer, tell me, why did you become an ADHD coach?
Well, you mentioned in the intro that I have two sons who have ADHD. So my oldest son was diagnosed with ADHD in 2001 when he was in seventh grade. And we sought counseling for him. He was on medication. We really just did everything that we knew at the time to do for him. And he went through a lot, actually ended up in a homeless shelter. And so when my second son was diagnosed with ADHD in 2009, and he was in second grade, I knew there had to be more resources out there. There just had to be a better way to do things because I did not want my youngest son to have to go through what my oldest son went through. And I wanted to figure out how I could be a better mom. So for many years, I just read and read and just absorbed as much as I could so that I could understand him and so that I could advocate for him with his teachers. And I stumbled across the ADD Coach Academy, and I took one like intro class. And I was hooked. I was like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes, I understand what you're saying about that advocating for them. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I always knew something was going on with my son early, probably when he was actually, I guess, kindergarten. But
oh, yeah.
anyway, so that was a little difficult. I guess first grade is when I had a teacher, actually, that was really watching him closely. And mm-hmm. she would tell me that he kind of stared off in the space and he wasn't connecting with routines that he should have known after being in school for 2 months. They had certain routines uh-huh. and he would still forget. Mm-hmm. And she's the one that really, she didn't necessarily say he could have ADHD. She just was noticing these things and she yeah. was talking to me about them. And that's what made mm-hmm. me just continue to watch him. And anyway, so let's talk about then, what is attention deficit or hyperactivity disorder?
Yes. So ADHD for short, what we call it, right? Mm-hmm. It is a neuropsychological psychological condition. And so what I mean by that is it is brain based. And I think that's so important for people to understand, because they do have a different brain wiring.
Yes.
Their brains do not function like what we call neurotypicals, if there really is such a thing as neurotypical, right? So it is a brain-based condition that causes deficits in their everyday functioning, is just a simple, easy way to explain it.
Yes. My understanding is it affects the prefrontal cortex.
You are right.
Is not fully developed until they're age 25, which,
or later. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to, because your son is older. You have an older son.
I do.
And so I can understand when you said at one time he was in a homeless shelter that his the prefrontal cortex was not developed. So some of his decision making, because that's what it affects, the risk taking, decision making, memory. Mm-hmm. Or short-term memory, all that stuff it affects. And to me, that is so important for people to understand that it is an actual medical brain-related issue. It is not it's not behavior. Correct. Behaviors can result because of the struggles of ADHD, but it is not, they're just acting out because they want to act out. It is specifically, this is what's happening in their brain.
Exactly. And one thing that that is really being noticed in the ADHD community now is that it isn't a deficit of attention, because really they have an overload of attention, right? They are attending to so many different things that catches their attention. It's actually a deficit in self-regulation. And you are exactly right about it affects the prefrontal cortex. And that is where all of our executive functions live. So planning and prioritizing, organizing, time management, task initiation, response inhibition, emotional control. So yes, and that is where we saw our oldest son really struggle when he moved out, because he did not have those executive functions to be out on his own.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that it is a difficult thing. I have noticed with my son in particular, he'll want to do it.
Yes.
But I still have to prod him to do it. And then I can't get upset with him. Mm-hmm. Because I've told him and he's forgot. I have to understand, okay, his short-term memory is quick.
Yes.
If he doesn't do it when I say, or he doesn't check something right away, it is gone. And so that is something I have to...
We call that working memory. So yes, exactly, short-term memory. And most people can maybe, if they're lucky, hold 5 tasks in their short-term memory. An ADHD person, 1 to 3 at most. Mm-hmm. So,
and so we were talking about like the signs then. And so you mentioned, you know, the task orientation, because another thing is my son, before he was diagnosed, when he was in 4th grade, he had a teacher that called him lazy in front of him. This was at a parent-teacher conference.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't say anything because it was about a project. And my son was sitting there and he was listening. And then when we got home, we asked him, what did you think about what Mr. So-and-so said? And he said, well, I did, because I said, why didn't you do the project again? Because the teacher said he finished too quickly and he didn't think he tried hard enough. Mm-hmm. And then I asked him, well, why didn't you do the project again? And he said, it was already really hard for me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I did the best I could. Mm-hmm. And shortly after that, we received his diagnosis, because I had him tested. And I went back to the school and I went and told the teacher. And then I told the teacher, you should be very careful with how you suppose or judge a person. Mm-hmm. And especially in front of the child. I straight told him that.
And good for you, mama.
Mm. Yeah. And we told my son too, that no, you're not lazy. You, if you did your best, which we always tell our kids, even if you get a C, if you did the very best you could, Mm-hmm. We're going to take that because we know you tried your hardest.
Exactly.
And so from there, and then of course we explained it to my son, and then he felt better that, oh, okay, I'm not lazy. It's not that I don't mm-hmm. want to, it's just my brain won't let me. Mm-hmm. And so once he got that, he's like, okay. Yeah. And then we started using, like you, I just did so much studying and mm-hmm. I still struggle. He's a senior this year and I am still, especially with, Zoom school or school online.
Oh, it's horrible. It is horrible for these kids. Yep.
Yes. Yes.
It is. And I'll tell you an interesting phrase for your listeners, Rabrina, is when you talk about it wasn't that he didn't want to do it, that his brain didn't let him. A phrase that we use a lot is ADHD isn't a lack of knowing what to do. Mm-hmm. It's a lack of doing what you know to do. Mm-hmm. So they know what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. It's just that their dopamine levels are so low, and dopamine is that reward, that motivator, and so they really do. It's almost like pushing a rock uphill to get mm-hmm. them to do the things they know they need to do.
What's the difference between ADD and ADHD? Because my mm-hmm. son and my daughter both are diagnosed with ADD. And actually, okay. I believe that's my husband's diagnosis also.
Okay. So it's interesting now that they really don't give like an ADD diagnosis. So now they're giving just everything comes under an ADHD diagnosis. And then you have three subcategories.
Okay.
So you have ADHD hyperactive, which is what most people think of when they hear ADHD, right? So that's that, you know, that little boy that you think of that's running around everywhere, you know, can't sit still. But it can also have to do with your mind just going 90 miles an hour. So you have ADHD hyperactive, you have ADHD inattentive, which is where most people just say, I have ADD, because everybody associates the H with hyperactive. Mm-hmm. So, and then there is ADHD combined, which means you have the hyperactive and the inattentive.
Oh, wow. That's got to be mm-hmm. a lot. And the ADD or attention deficit disorder, that is the one that kind of really, like, I had, one of his teachers said, he's pretty laid back. That's how she put it. She said, he's a little laid back for me. And that is, first of all, that's his personality. He is a laid back mm-hmm. kind of kid, always has been. But also it's his movements are a little slower than others. And let me say that it is not always a reflection of intelligence, because he's extremely smart. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, he's an extremely smart.
Most of the time, your people who have ADHD are extremely intelligent and creative.
Yes, and he is extremely creative. Yes. Yes, he can hold a conversation with just about anyone. I used to have adults always say, wow, this kid, he knows a lot. You know, mm-hmm. he knows a lot about history. And they said, well, he can really hold a conversation because he knows so much. Because mm-hmm. another thing is, if there's something they're really interested in, they become hyper-focused.
Oh, yes.
So they're just extremely focused on this one thing, and they're mm-hmm. absorbing information. And so that also is another way that ADHD or ADD mm-hmm. shows up.
And that can be confusing for parents, Rabrina, because they're like, well, how can my kid have ADHD? Because they can focus on, you know, they can play video games for hours, or they can sit and do Legos, you know, or read a book that they love.
Yes.
So, yeah, that can be super confusing.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Now, okay, so I said I have two. So I talked about my son and mm-hmm. his diagnosis, and he was diagnosed in the fourth grade, although I had been watching him since first grade.
Yes.
And then fourth grade, I finally got him into CISA when he was diagnosed. And then my daughter, her personality is very high performance, almost perfectionist. And she's 19 now and she's in college, but it wasn't until she was 16 that she was diagnosed with ADHD, because she was already seeing a counselor for anxiety and depression. So she kind of flew under the radar for a long time. So how is it different between boys and girls?
So what you experienced with your daughter is unfortunately so common. For a long time, and even still today, ADHD was considered a boy's diagnosis. And the reason that boys, we say boys are diagnosed more, is because they tend to show the behaviors that people typically associate with ADHD. So that hyperactivity. So the running, the jumping, the extremely fidgety, they're a little more aggressive, impulsive, blurting out in class. So it really is just easier to detect ADHD in boys because of their behavior. Girls do tend to fly under the radar because, as women, we know that girls tend to be people pleasers and rule followers. And I think that's where that perfectionism comes in, right?
She's definitely a rule follower.
So girls will basically do whatever it takes to make good grades, you know, to please people and so on. And hold that in mind, because that's a really good answer to the how it masks itself. But so we kind of see girls present differently. We say they're either chatty Cathys, and those are the ones who are talking constantly. They're interrupting their friends, right?
She's chatty too.
So chatty Cathys, or they're the very shy, socially awkward in the background girls. So those are,
that's her too, though.
She was
very, very shy as a child. She was extremely shy. And then as she grew, but at home, she talked a lot. And
she
people
was saving
say,
it all up for you.
Exactly. Because people would say, she doesn't say very much. I'm like, oh, yes, she does. At home, she talks a lot. And then as she grew older, she stopped being as shy and her chattiness came out at school or with her friend group too. So it spilled over as she got older.
So back when I said that, that girls are people pleasers, rule followers, that really is how ADHD can mask itself in girls, because they do tend to be people pleasers, rule followers, perfectionists like your daughter. So most girls can get by in like elementary school, and they get by and fly under the radar until expectations increase, which taxes their executive functions. So, right, that time management, that organization, they're expected to be more independent, right? And so oftentimes what we'll see is that girls are struggling so much inside to keep up with everything. And they know something's different. They know they're struggling. And maybe they don't have friends because they're a little different. So they're struggling so much inside that it is really typical for them to present with depression and anxiety and to get that diagnosis first, when really it's the untreated underlying ADHD that's causing the depression and anxiety.
Okay. I also wanted to ask you about medication, because some people don't believe in medication. They just believe in diet and exercise and strategies. And yes, I did all of those things and my son was still struggling. And my pediatrician, he had recommended medication and I still did not do the medication. I didn't do the medication until my son was he was in 10th grade. So from 4th grade to 10th grade, there was no medication involved. When I gave him medication, it was night and day. And he was able to focus. And I felt bad because I knew he was working overtime. And literally every night I was sitting at the dinner table with him after dinner, helping him with his homework. And we would be sitting there for 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Helping him do his homework. And then once I put him on that medication, he didn't need as much help because he could focus.
Yeah.
And so I kind of want to talk about that because I had my reasons. You know, we had addiction in my family and I was afraid to put him on medication. But when I talked to my pediatrician every year, he would talk to me about it to try. And he talked about the strategy side, the diet side, the exercise side, and the medication side. And so anyway, it was combined forces that kind of put us in a better place. So I wanted to talk to you about that a little bit and what your opinion is on that.
Yes. So I love how you called it combined forces, because that is so true. Diet and exercise is really important because we know that exercise increases dopamine, and that's the chemical that's low in the ADHD brain. So yes, exercise is important. And if they're hyperactive, it can help get some of that energy out, right? And diet is important. Most of the time, people with ADHD are very drawn to carbs and sugar.
Yes.
And you need to increase the protein in their diet, right? And kind of lay off some of the carbs and sugars. So we do know that is important. But also, that medication can play such an important role. And so think back to when we said that ADHD is a neuropsychological disorder. So it's brain based. So what does the medicine help with? It helps with that brain based. So a really good way to look at it is, let's say your child came to you and they said, "Mom, I can't see the blackboard. Everything's blurry. I can't," or the whiteboard. I guess they don't have chalkboards anymore in school, do they?
Right.
So I can't see the whiteboard at school. And you took them to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor said, "Well, yeah, she needs glasses." You wouldn't say, "Well, no, my kid doesn't need glasses. Just, you know, they just need to try harder and squint their eyes really good, and that'll help them see better." Think of ADHD medication as glasses, right? It is just giving them what they need for their brains to, what we say is, level the playing field for them. It really just brings them up to as close as possible the functioning of their peers. And it's really important to know too, I think, for parents to know this, is that ADHD medication is the most researched medication that we have. Can it be abused? Yes. Any medication can be abused, right? But it's typically your people who have the diagnosis and who need that medication. They're not the ones who are abusing it, because they're the ones who need it.
And what I have found is they don't have to be on it all the time, because when they're not in school, so on the weekends, they don't take it because they don't need it. Mm-hmm. Only when they're in school, and it only stays in their system that day. Or 8-hour period, or whatever it is. So, and then when they're on breaks, they don't take it. They only take it when they're going to be in school. And so, and both of my kids now take the medication, and my husband is also on medication. So, but I'm going to say for each parent, you know your child, you use your best judgment.
Yes, exactly.
I'm just telling you about what my experience was and what led me to finally put him on medication and the results. Now, by the time my daughter was diagnosed, he had already been on medication. So I just, when they recommended it, I just said, okay, because I already saw how it affected him. And and they do have to sometimes try different ones, because my daughter had one that kept giving her stomach aches. And so they took that one away. Mm-hmm. So they do have to find the right one. And it does not always make them lethargic. Like some people say, oh, they just are so spaced out or whatever. There's different medications for different ways, and there's different ways of the medication to treat it. So I would just say do your homework and do what's best for you and your family. Wow, Jennifer has so much good information for us that we're going to continue our conversation on the next episode and talk more about helpful strategies to deal with ADHD. Until then, remember, God is for you and you're not alone. With His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art, inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.